Hello and welcome to the first ever Dunsparce and Drampa episode talkback, starting with the very first episode, The Journey Begins. This is an idea that I've had floating around for a while, and now just as a fun thing for our group to do, as well as the chance to gain some additional insight from the players and I regarding the campaign. For full transparency, at the time of this recording, we've recorded the entirety of this campaign, except for the finale, so the only context we might be missing and be unable to speak on is the very end of the game. And we've got everyone here. Say hello.
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 Hi.
So, IRL, we recorded this in, like, May of 2021? Is that correct?
Something like that, yeah. Is the video supposed to be flying right now?
It is. Well, it's not. Okay, I mean, there's no video to it, but can you all hear it?
Yeah.
I cannot.
Yeah.
While you were doing your intro, it was playing the commentary thing over it, so you might have like a clash.
Yeah, I mean that's how it's gonna be. Is that
okay?
You know, it's like but the intention was, I was thinking about calling this a director's cut, but we're not really directors because
I understand,
like, we're all community directors, and so I was picturing like DVDs back in the day where you would watch it and then you would like hear the directors talking over it. That's kind of what the goal here kind of is. So. Tell me if you want it louder or quieter, but you can also probably control it on your end.
No, I have my own volume, so it's fine.
Oh, and also for what it's worth, I intend to share the video and the audio so you can watch it with the auto-generated subtitles, since it's probably a little hard to listen to, I would imagine. Not impossible, though. But, I guess, going into this, how do you guys, I don't know, is there anything that you're like looking forward to revisiting, or how do you expect to feel about it, or like do you guys have any notions about this?
It's funny for me because I've like, since I've not been part of any editorial process at all, I've not listened to a playback at all whatsoever.
Okay.
So like, it's just gonna be like rediscover. Oh my god, I remember that happened 4 years ago or something. Like, it's just gonna be a lot to just remember.
Yeah, this is pretty much 4 years ago. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I also delete all of my thoughts when the session ends, so
yeah.
Like
I've been there with the games that I'm a player in, for sure. And ready for business, while others are still, it's funny, I have all these notes still from this setting the scene, which granted it's the most important because it's the first episode to do that kind of stuff, but like nowadays I feel like maybe if I like, one of my DM weaknesses is sometimes I just feel like I don't give enough flavor. Sometimes it's not necessary to do, but also like I never went as hard as I did for the first session as far as describing a scene. But I think that's normal, probably.
A gentleman reaches out towards you and says, "Ticket, please."
So, does this gentleman see? Do you all remember the invitation I gave for you guys to play D&D with me? Do you remember what that was?
Oh yeah, the invitations. Those were really cute.
Yeah. I tried to personalize them all to your characters that we had discussed in session zero. Little invites to come to Lily Cove, basically. So what we did for session one was we just jumped into it. It's like everyone got off the boat and they're in Lily Cove for this festival.
It looks like almost hiker style backpack, like we've seen like the hiker.
Gimli was first.
Like they have that full style. Mm-hmm. And again, even though I'm clearly supposed to be here on vacation,
also
I feel like I'm a completely different person.
The microphone quality is wild.
It's way different. Yeah.
It's just so weird listening.
Part of it is you and Melissa were in the same room at the.
It was, yeah. At the
beginning.
Time, we were both in the same room.
So
yeah.
You're picking it up on both mics. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks to himself. Yeah. Like, is this man here to work or is he here on vacation?
Well, welcome, Gimli. I never like conceptualized that Gimli was the first player in the campaign. He was the first one to appear. Kind of fun.
Does Gimli have a friend with him?
Gimli does. Gimli has a small.
Oh, there's like an echo. That's crazy.
Trevor.
Oh yeah, yeah. I put animations.
That was there.
Not animations, but pictures.
Oh hell yeah!
For the first time,
production quality.
Clever.
What a sweet guy. I stopped putting stuff in the videos, and then eventually Kira took over, and she doesn't send videos; she sends MP3s. So
he's actually visibly very excited to be here, rather than being like uncomfortable.
I like the idea of Trevor being visibly excited despite not having a face.
Bobbling by your feet?
Oh yeah.
Are you carrying him? Is he leashed?
Currently, he'll be bobbling by my feet.
Okay. Excellent. So yeah, where's Gimli trying to go right now?
Because I was told to relax, and my wife wouldn't let me carry my bag everywhere I go. So I think Gimli wants
more exposition.
To be on the way to
yeah,
where
has to be. It's the first episode.
Had to keep going.
Yeah.
You're trying to move me along. I was like, I need more exposition.
Nah, you guys.
I'm a wife guy. You need to know.
I'm the dad of the party.
No, not like a bad wife guy.
Like no, not like a bad wife guy. Yeah.
Wife wouldn't let me
to clarify.
Go on with my bag, yeah. Even though I insisted that I needed to keep it for reasons.
Sure. All right.
I needed to keep it for reasons.
There's the classic trope of you all meet in a tavern. Which is just easy for absolutely. DMs to do. Right. I wanted to do a Pokemon alternative that was maybe a little more interesting. I don't know.
You all meet in a town.
I'm assuming you're also coming from.
And like, it's tricky when everyone's from a different region too. It's like, how do cosmopolitan people all get together that isn't adventurers and mercenaries in a pub? You know,
right?
But I think this worked out. I think this was a decent
yeah, it was good
means of getting everyone together. The hard thing is uniting them with a common issue, which was what. You know, I'm assuming anyone listening to this has listened to this already, like, he's a or like without like the commentary, which was everyone had something stolen from them. I thought that was a good like way to unite everyone. Really like
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like he's not gonna get a fight
yeah, that was good.
Yeah, wearing it's a pretty easy one to like paint the bad nicer, guys like truly as like bad right off the bat for us. It's
one of the,
yeah,
it makes it super up, easy like, when it's in a direction. Of,
like, I guess that's another D&D trope too, is that your DM shows you a big bad like right at the start. You know, like
yeah.
The evil demon comes and just kills a random guy and is like, you're next, and then leaves. You know, that's like
yeah, it's a trope for a reason though. It's very effective at like getting everything kickstarted. So
totally,
that's him. Then he has his
Schmidt's here,
Farfetch following him.
Hell yeah, and Quacko.
Farfetch is very excited to see everybody. Quacko's just like walking up and talking to everyone they can.
Great.
So Quacko up, like, is Farfetch, and then I'm just like, Farfetch, get over here.
I definitely have like more.
He's Cantonian, right? Yes.
I don't know.
Again, this
I had a vision in my head at the time, and I don't know what that vision is anymore.
For Schmidt?
Of your character?
Yeah. There's like a dynamic with like Quacko.
It's very strange. Tears your ticket.
And I thought I would be like RPing more Quacko, like back and forth as well.
Yeah. To be fair, we didn't super know how we were going to RP the Mons going into it. We just felt it out.
I also want to say that Moxon's bit is straight up ripped from Schmidt from New Girl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As is a lot of Schmidt things, right?
Does Schmidt and Quacko.
I think that was the only.
It's like it's
a little bit
like
of his
general
backstory.
It was like general personality, yeah. But.
Set on your way to the Cove Lily Motel.
But he's grown so much.
Do that, who else
he's
is
a
around?
Lot, yeah.
Are they coming by ship? Are they coming by
But yet somehow remain the same.
I'm
ship here. Okay. Elodie time.
Same story goes to you as you depart from your ship from the Kalos region. What yes. does the Ticketmaster see before him?
Average height girl, early 20s. She's got freckles and like caramel brown hair just above her shoulders.
Yeah, I had like a whole physical description written like, out that I was like, I gotta get everything in there.
No, that's awesome. That helps a lot.
Together, probably smells pretty good, like a bakery or something.
Hell yeah.
Really looks like, you know,
not everyone writes to appeal to the olfactory very often, so it's good to have
milsery,
that.
Probably chilling.
You gotta get every
there,
sense in there.
A juice box or something.
What's this milsery's name?
Cabbage.
Excellent.
Cabbage.
Sure. I love cabbage.
We all love cabbage. Also, for the record, when we recorded this, we like this was still before we thought about doing a podcast. I was recording strictly for archival purposes. And I think it's in a post show, episode one or two or three, I don't remember, where I was like, we could just upload this. And everyone was like, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, sounds cool. Yeah.
And then for like a year and a half, we cruised with our 30 listeners. And then Spotify was like, nope. And then changed it. So pretty crazy.
Some kids running a lemonade stand. There's all sorts of stuff.
Definitely going for some local specialties.
Local specialties, sure. Yeah, you set your eyes on a booth that is up towards.
This could be a fun time. I think it was mentioned in the interviews, maybe. But just if you guys all want to quickly just, how did you land on your starter? Maybe we can go in order as it is on screen. So maybe Garby first. On
foot. Oh. So, like, I'm always picking stuff that, like, I'm VGC inspired.
Yeah.
So, I think around the time we started this, I was, like, super high on playing, like, Gigalith Sandstorm Trick Room stuff.
Almost looks like a kid.
And I just loved playing Gigalith. So, I was like, oh, I'm going to pick this guy. Like, I was going to pick a rock type. I was going for a minor theme. This just seemed like the perfect fit with that. And I really loved Gigalith at the time. It just, like, it all kind of came together that way.
I think she would probably be checking in like with her grandparents.
Squids,
well,
why did you pick Farfetch?
Farfetch. Yeah.
With her grandparents.
Beginning of generation 8.
That they would be selling.
Sure. Yeah.
Or there was one point where I was like,
your grandparents helping them carry
stuff. Fuck VGC. I'm not playing VGC for a while. I'm going to be a shiny hunter. And I was looking at false swipe users. A couple routes. And the only stab false swipe user in base Sword and Shield was Farfetch'd. Carnivine. And I was like, that's a funny hunting Pokemon. Helping them carry. And then so Farfetch'd just kind of stayed at the front of my party.
Let's check back.
And I don't know, something about his little duck, so his little butt waddle that he did when he was
a man who he
got me
from his work in the mines at Sinnoh.
Grace.
Gimli, I'm going to give you this opportunity if you
Was between two characters, I think originally, cuz I was like there was one character I was thinking about doing that had a Mareep and she was like a farmer who was into technology, I guess. Weird thing. And then the other was a baker who had a Milsuri, because I really like Milsuri in Gen 8.
He's brought some real job.
And yeah, I kept really coming back to like the idea of like playing a baker, and I really love Milsuri, so I was like, this will be fun to play, I'm sure. Like, that's easy to play with a Pokemon you love, you know?
Yeah.
And he's swallowing them, and then through a hole in his shell, he's spitting out like pure gems.
And Honeybee Girl, why did you pick a Vulpix?
Hey, Gimli, good.
I've always been a fan of fire types. Shocker there, right? And I've always had a soft spot for just Vulpix in general. I also cosplayed poorly, I might add, at one of my first anime conventions.
Actually, a pretty similar amount, and like I don't.
Who did you cosplay as?
Prepared to give such a
Vulpix.
Oh, okay, I didn't catch that. Okay, cool.
Oh yeah, no, like very poorly. made it like hand sewed it myself. Terrible. But I've always loved like fire types in general, but Vulpix was like, it's cute, it's a fox, and it's fire, and it's so cool, and like,
oh, we call him old Jimmy, but you know,
I was like, yep, I'm fire type.
Very cool.
Well, I'm so glad that Gemma convinced you to take some time off and come see us here in Lilico.
Some Gimli lore drop, looking for his son.
There was so much. Of course. So, like so many like NPCs associated around Gimli.
Yeah.
Specifically in the first episode.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely not.
The whole union was there, right? Except for Gemma.
A bunch of lava comes out.
Yeah.
Oh, good to see you there, little boy Carl.
Oria, so pretty funny. Looking for a place to sit down your bags?
I think so, yeah. My wife would kill me if she found out I was carrying my bags around.
All right.
Yeah, one of the hardest parts for me, also like playing D&D, but it might have been for you guys as well, is determining your motivation. You know, it's hard sometimes. Like, you want to play the game, but what does your character want to do, right? And I think Gimli just came out swinging with, I can't find my son. He went to Mount Silver and he's gone. And that's like pretty easy.
I've always had a tendency to do that to make it like easier on the DMs to have like a super easy motivation to grab onto.
Yeah.
Like there was always like, I'm looking for something, or I'm looking for a person, or it just makes for a very easy motivation for them to write it and build something out of.
Totally.
Beach boy outfit. So it's just like some nice flip flops, like Gucci flip flops.
Oh, so he's changed out of his moccasins.
Gucci flip flops.
Now he's a Gucci flip flops.
Is crazy.
One more button.
I don't remember that. That's so funny.
Yeah. After compared to what Schmidt wears now, it's crazy.
Just full of mechanical arm, a cowl, you know. Like,
yeah, it's fucking sick.
That's awesome.
Whenever I sent the reference to the artist that I had for the art done,
saunter on down to the beach
for the final outfit.
That, over there. We'll yeah, that might check in with you later. That might make its way to before this goes up. That might not. But I'd sent them Hawkeye from I think Marvel Rivals or another Marvel game, where like his sleeve like was specifically missing. It had something to do with like how he'd aim his bow or whatever, or like draw the arrow.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's his metal arm. So just a sleeve missing this bodysuit.
Yeah.
This nice kind of white oak wooden.
It's definitely a bit of a trope.
There's a couple in there.
For especially, what's the word? Not unwilling, but like the protagonist who isn't necessarily fully on board with being a protagonist kind of vibe that I, you know, that Schmidt kind of fell into, to lose their arm. It's like a thing. The one that's coming to mind immediately is Adventure Time, but I feel like that's a thing, like, that's common. Am I wrong with that?
Luke Skywalker loses a hand.
No, you're right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like people who are forced into heroism.
A reluctant adventure, losing something of themselves.
Exactly. And that wasn't planned for Schmidt. It just happened to work out.
Dog, there was like nothing planned for Schmidt going into this. I had like a rough idea of a character and I'm like, yeah, fuck it. We'll go for it.
Yeah.
Figure it out as we go.
I mean, that's the vibe for the campaign as a whole, really. It's just like basic idea. Let's just see what happens, right?
Probably go check in the hotel too.
Okay. Did Soul Eater not get revealed because she's not on the video yet? And or maybe I just botched the edit. Who knows? Grandparents and Poppy
the Carnivine. So they're setting up. I re-listened to this. I want to say like within the past year or something. So good to see you. I hope you've been learning. Yeah, we're talking about the grandparents.
She lies and says, "Yeah, me and Soli are doing so."
There
good
we go. It was when Soli was eardropped. Yeah. Okay.
It's very just good. Been great.
What else? So remember, it was like the gold Magikarp.
Yeah. The first shiny.
What's coming up right here? Yeah.
Yeah. What a great, like, I love the aesthetic collection of these starters. I know you guys didn't coordinate it, but it's just cool. Like, there's a good vibe to it.
Yeah, they're so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're all distinct, and even, like, their body form factor is entirely different, too, which is, like, kind of cool.
Yeah, we're so strong.
Excellent. Asai pulls out like a big like container, a big glass, like it almost looks like a blender, but there's no blender base. It's just a big cup essentially. And she starts shoveling a bunch of berries into Carnivine's mouth, and Carnivine starts chewing them.
Oh yeah, Carnivine was the blender. Forgot about that. Yeah.
Just pours them out of the side of its mouth, and boom. It's
probably a health code violation, but they got that.
I would headcanon that Carnivine's saliva is probably very sugary, right? Because it's a fly trap.
Mm.
So maybe that just makes the smoothie really good. Berry
Masters. It could. Setup's going
really well. That's probably where I got that.
Like Pokemon's probably more sterile than other things, depending on the Pokemon.
Yeah, maybe.
Games or whatever kids these days like to do.
So I politely ask my grandparents for some fun money for the day because I am poor.
Of course. Hold on, let me.
Of course you're poor. Of course.
Well, I think I started with like 60 Poke dollars. Like, fun, so mm-hmm.
So glad did I have you guys roll for money, or was it like based on your background? Grabbed a bunch of bills,
like he didn't care how much. Yes,
I want to say it was based on background.
Yeah.
But
I think it was based on background, and then we rolled a die, and then you. Around decide like sure. You gave us what that die was or what that translated to, like how many times that number on the die
that sounds right
was for money.
Throw the ping pong balls into the fish bowls, but there's no fish in the bowls. They have like little fake fish, but there are definitely prizes there. There's like a arm wrestling booth where like there's just a carny who's like really swole on one arm, and he's like, come arm wrestle me, win tokens. Those are the ones that are meeting.
At the time, like right before we started playing this,
I feel like she would probably.
I was playing in an online group, and we were doing I forget the full title. The Fae module for D&D 5e Wild Beyond the Witchlight. And the exposition for that, like the tavern that you meet in, is a carnival, and you like play mini games and stuff. And I thought that was a cool idea, so I stole it because. It lets you kind of explore. It lets you roll some dice and like kind of just like chill out a bit before the adventure starts. I thought it was a cool idea. So that's partially where this inspiration came from for this environment.
They did that in Chrono Trigger.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool environment, I think. If you're in a tavern, the only like solo roleplay stuff you can do to get comfy is like what you order, kind of. Where do you sit?
Years and years. I've been down in the mines for so long.
Oh, wow. He sounds like he's still in the mines.
I'm still in the mines.
He hasn't left.
God, that echo was so bad. How did we even? How did people listen to this first episode? My God.
That's funny.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, you know I would.
All right. And with all the love in my heart, I will still say this audio is not as bad as Critical Role's first episode. Have you guys listened to that? It's a nightmare, dude. It's so bad.
About it.
And that's Critical Role. Like, they're goated, but like, yeah, their debut is rough. But I also feel like it's just the nature for a real play podcast to have the first episode just have problems. Like, that's just what happens.
I think Critical Role was using only room mics. Like, they were all in a room, and they just had, like, one microphone to try to pick everyone up.
Yeah, something like that. It was rough.
And now we're somewhere.
For the summer, but so, I feel yeah. like y'all are interested in some ale? And he raises an eyebrow in question.
Absolutely, slams this.
Okay. Yeah, he just... pours ale. Yeah, he pours a bunch
the
of
mines. They persist.
The mines!
The mines persist.
The mines
persist.
Very good.
Cool. Yeah, you,
the
you
mines persist, and so do I. Up.
They're talking about the mines. One of the guys that you remember from last time lost his arm, and he's telling you about how it got caught under a rock.
Knowing like D&D first session tropes, did you guys anticipate anything bad would happen, or did you think it would just be a happy-go-lucky festival?
I shrugged it off. It wasn't a big
deal. Do you remember? That was like 4 years ago. So
I truly remember having no expectations going
into
this.
I don't think I had any expectation at all. I was just like, I'm happy to be here.
This was my first D&D experience ever.
Also on their backs, and they're wearing sunglasses. All four of them are wearing sunglasses. The two lads. The two
since
dads,
this, they're just you've had a few more D&D experiences, even that you've DM'd a couple, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
We did the Galagala with this. I DM'd a Call of Cthulhu session with Kira, Liz, Nacer, and Melissa.
And they're all sunburned. They're wearing sunglasses. And then, like, to the right of them are just two crab Pokemon.
I have finished one 5e campaign and started a lot of a module of another one since we started this. So that's pretty cool.
They're all lined up like sardines.
A couple of our friends, like, we had an in-person one for a little bit.
Yeah, man.
And then just, like, life got in the way, so we haven't played. And then I have my other, like, Candlekeep campaign that I think I've been playing pretty much just as long as we've been playing. Or we started very shortly after. Like, we've been doing that for a while.
Check it out. It's pretty good. They got some tiny mushrooms.
We're almost done with that, so.
Grill them up. Delicious.
What the fuck is this voice right now?
Dude, yeah, I was trying shit out.
Don't you put them on a stick? They're so good.
Grill some mushrooms.
Dude,
put them
you've
on
never
a stick.
Had grill mushrooms like these before. They're so fucking good.
If your NPCs aren't memorable, then what are they? You know, like you gotta make.
I'm just
them
saying,
weird.
We're gonna be roasting each other the whole time. It's fine.
Oh, absolutely. I'm gonna start roasting myself any moment.
Check into the hotel and.
So
party,
that's
I'm still in the mines, bro. Like,
that's funny. The Schmick kebabs were like so iconic that Grace put
iconic.
It on the first party sketch. It's the kebab.
I think it's reversed that order. I think Grace put it on the first party sketch, and then they became iconic.
Oh, you think so?
We hope you
enjoy your.
Yeah,
could be.
Merci.
No, I think that's why you should do them, because he's like, I'm holding both, so Quacko can do his
the
thing.
French accent.
Yeah, the French accent was so bad. I was like, I'm going to try this. Accents are fun.
It stayed for like 2 hours.
Mercy.
Yeah. Mercy.
No,
Mercy beaucoup.
I thought it was good. But yeah, it can be kind of challenging. And I think you can also flavor it that like Elodie spent so much time in Hoenn, she just adopted the regional accent. You know, it's like.
Yeah, 2 days, and then she's like, I'm in.
Yeah, that's all I'm
locked in. Like, these people are literally speaking my language.
It's the high charisma stat. You just fit into social situations, you know?
Maximum riz.
That's called masking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no, Elodie's autistic.
Honestly,
holy. The reveal.
Honestly,
director's commentary to find out like motivations by my character were actually that she's masking.
Well, masking can be for like ADHD or other things, any
true,
type of neurodivergence.
No,
not
I just have ADHD.
Autism.
Oh, golden fish. In the water.
Corp. Corp.
I need Corp to come back.
Corp.
Taken anything from
we
you guys,
we need a weekly
players,
quota of that.
And from the listeners, it's that you guys need Pokemon sounds all the time. That you can never get enough of.
Dog, you do so like these Pokemon sounds all the time. But you do like such a like high pitched weird like, and then Discord doesn't pick it up.
We never know.
It's a mystery. So this is like
you
we're
Pokemon
gonna get all
sounds,
that.
It, Discord doesn't pick it up. Yeah.
Oh no,
this is awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that's not awful.
I think Corp might have been the first Richie Pokemon sound. That might have been it.
Corp.
Corp.
Oh no, I got a 6.
For one,
you know someone was raging that we didn't try full out to get the shiny magic card. Could you imagine like running through the game with like a shiny Gyarados?
I feel like I don't know. Looks at you and is like, the you're doing, and that kind of like Dungeon fans are not shy to say whenever they didn't like something.
Yeah, that's fair.
But nobody said anything about that shiny magic card.
That's fair.
Nice try. Would you like to buy some more?
I guess I'll do 2 more.
All right, you buy 2 more.
40.
Yeah, you can.
Cindy's spending all of her grandparents' money trying to get a magic card.
Yeah, just a gamble.
Yeah.
A shiny's a shiny, you know.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, that's literally what you said. Yeah,
yeah, I was like, wait, that's so funny.
You literally just had that same conversation.
I stand by that.
Something's never changed. Like,
I also stand by that.
I have not changed at all. Not even a little in the 4 years you've been playing. Only got married and...
Yeah, I've had...
Got engaged, got married.
Three different jobs, and I moved from, like, halfway across the country. So...
Did I graduate college while we were doing that?
Probably.
That's possible.
I think so. They're all individual
constitution checks. Can I find 14. The oldest message?
Oh no, I'm sorry. I got a
in the server?
I got an 18,
yeah.
A 22.
Yeah. I graduated 2022.
Okay.
Well, we started in 2021, right?
Yeah. Beers with the lads.
So yeah, I graduated college.
Pretty crazy. Might incur disadvantage, but you're having a great time. You're chatting it up. You're slapping backs. You're just
slapping backs,
baby.
Can you tattoo of that on my back?
Slapping bags, yeah, right on the tramp stamp, dude.
Oh, true.
Yes. Tramp stamps? Magic tramp stamps, guys?
Magic tramp stamps, slide in the bag.
Oh, God.
We know somebody. We have a friend who does tattoos. Like, we can do that.
Tramp stamps, for sure.
Schmidt, you came in to get some grub, right?
Yep.
All right, he says, Hoenn-style kebabs, come get your Hoenn-style kebabs. There's a Paris there who's, like, cutting up a bunch of vegetables, and he says, they're only $8 pokey dollars each.
Definitely didn't improvise that price.
With lightning speed, the Paris.
I'll give them both to Quacko.
Give them both to Quacko? Awesome.
Yeah.
Give both to Quacko.
The Paris switches from prep and then.
Schmidt needs to watch his figure.
Bobs onto the grill and like forces them.
Well, I remember when it was like, oh, do you want this cookie? No, it's bad for my complexion.
Yeah, that was very much like.
So good.
Iconic.
I went into it to be the no guy.
Yeah. Classic improv tool, always saying no.
To the but it works. Yeah. It was so funny.
And you're giving them both to Quacko?
Yes.
All right. Are you gonna take his leak, or is he just gonna hold all three of them?
He'll probably hold all three of them.
Okay, great.
Imagine how does he has, like a tuft of feathers where like he
there
leak,
like behind. I was wondering how he did that.
Cool.
You know, like around his tail or whatever, and then so he'll like tuck his leak back there, and then he'll just have both kebabs.
There's an animation principle called hammer space. You guys know about that?
Just go and like go
feel like I've heard about it, but it's nothing.
It's the idea of when a character reaches behind their back and then pulls out, for instance, a hammer that like wasn't there.
The one that catches your eye.
So I like the idea that Farfetch'd has a hammer space for his leak space.
Yeah, this is before, like at the beginning of the campaign, we didn't call Quacko's leak a sword.
Yeah, when did that pick up?
It was very early on, but.
Maybe like
I know these first couple episodes, it's just
the Unova region. Would you like to try some of our delicacies?
And I just kind of set it in a combat, I think.
Kind of stuck,
It's cool. It's a great little it's like personification. It's like a
brown paste, and it's almost sizzling in the summer.
I guess that poses a question. You guys, this is to you, but also to whoever's listening, possibly. Should we listen back for every gym challenge? I'm not sure. I'm considering maybe having people like vote for which one they want to do for each gym. But I also don't want some favoritism to happen where like, oops, all Elodie is like the thing or whatever. So curious what you guys think about that.
Spices, but isn't great at handling spices when they are ingested.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind listening to gym challenges. Sounds pretty fun.
Okay. Oh, maybe no, not all of them. Maybe. We'll see when we get there.
Okay, so
we could also, I mean, I guess depending on when we release these, we could put it out to fans, like which gym challenge they want, like they would
that's
want
what I meant.
More.
Yeah. Then that I like that, but my only concern then would be the oops all Elodie situation or oops all Schmidt or whatever.
Gotcha. I mean, we can still pick from there, but at least it gives us like an idea what the fans are into.
Okay, yeah, we'll see.
The Univin salespeople are so like, they say, so what do you think? And they
like didn't you have one where like Gimli's gym challenge was just botched? It was like, well, here's what happened. We couldn't get it to record.
It's so
the end.
Yeah, it's so funny that the single time that we had a terrible recording failure was when Gimli destroyed the fire gym. And there was like nothing there was no roleplay lost because he just destroyed it. So it was very serendipitous that if we had to have a failure, it was that specific episode. Pretty funny.
Okay. Did you return the ball?
Do I need to roll for Soli to find it?
Yeah, you do.
Okay, what do I need to roll?
Just a d20? You know what you're looking for, so we're going to say it's investigation.
17, with great. No anything, so...
Yeah, Richie, you got a little echo too.
I'm sure.
Back to the vendor, or are you going to take it from Sully's mouth?
I had like a $10 Amazon microphone. I think.
I think it might be more room tone than echo, but
yeah, it could be.
13.
Okay, Sully launches it up, and it ricochets off the wall. And
is the keyboard from our call right now, or is this from the video?
As Sully returns.
No, it's from the video.
That's in the video, yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy, dude. Was that? That must have been me.
Because you were so recording funny. Locally on your end, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't have Discord's like okay. noise suppressor.
Yeah, the noise suppressor's not there.
That's so funny.
Next, and then he.
So that's why Kira pops in every time, and then it's like, who was clicking their mouse?
It was like, yeah. I was probably Rich clicking his mouse over
here. It probably was, yeah, most of the time. Okay. That's so funny.
We have. Drunk Gimli.
But don't worry, it was me and Jacob that said sorry every time. He's a
few beers. Okay, no, one time legitimately, like, my mouse died like the day before we had session, and I'm like, what the fuck am I gonna do? So I just went out and bought a new mouse, and every time it clicked, it was so fucking loud. Like, I would click, and I would watch it, like, the green light register on my speak bubble.
All of you seem to have gathered towards the center of the town right now. You're like in this crux that's between.
So how long did it take to unite you guys in game? 30 minutes. That's about right.
The Pokemon Center. And all that seems reasonable.
Even then, I think Schmidt tried to leave again.
Yeah, probably.
Of a young man who says, "Pablo, no!
Pablo, no!
What do you all do? Pablo? We are not taking turns anymore. You are all acting together."
Boy, what was that? I think I'm going to go investigate, find out what's going on over there.
Classic player helping out the DM. I don't know what that was, but I'm going to find out.
But like, not like I'm running to go help, more to like see what's going on from a safe.
Whoa, what's that?
Okay, but so
all the typing
galloping up. I don't know why Sully galloped.
There's so much of it. That's crazy. I didn't remember that. That's super wild. I also had an unusually loud keyboard at the time.
Yeah, because Cindy's a bad
trainer. Great.
It probably just follows. I'm assuming it's like a crowd that's like gathering around it, so he probably just follows the crowd over there.
Okay, sure.
Like, yeah, not necessarily.
Are you compelled to see what the hubbub is about?
Yeah, I'll probably just like check in with like Cabin and be like, "Yo, like, did you hear that?" And then like we'll probably go check it out.
Okay. So as you all kind of gather around this commotion, you see a young man, probably in his late teens, early 20s. He has all these objects in boxes that seem to be general like convenience goods for trainers. He has got like all these lights that he has equipped to the front of his booth, but they aren't turning on. And he just says again, "Pablo, where'd you go? I need you." He's like very upset. He's rummaging through his boxes. He's like doing the thing where he pokes his head around and he puts his hand like a salute over his eyes to block out the sun a little bit. And he's trying to find something or someone.
Who's Pablo?
Boy, friend, are you looking for someone?
Yes, my precious Pablo. He's gone missing. I literally cannot start the shop without him. I need you to find him for me. He's about this big, and he holds up his hands to be like about a foot. And he's yellow, and he has really cute little black ears and a tiny black tail and adorable pink cheeks. Please find him.
Oi, it's a Pokemon then.
Yes, he's
the first vague figure out the Pokemon description.
Yeah.
I'll try to find him. Anyone who finds
not even that vague. I think it was pretty obvious it was Pichu, promise. But
mm-hmm.
Can Cindy roll investigation
Gimli?
For sorry,
I was gonna say
I you know, it was a bit of a learning curve in this in this campaign where you guys were all Pokemon fans, so I wanted to have it be a little bit of deduction to be like, ooh, what is the monster? But then I was realizing that, well, first off, it's weird that there's at least a handful of people whose introduction to Pokemon is this podcast, which is really weird to me.
That's wild.
But we've had people come in the Discord and say that. I just don't believe it.
The opposite, too.
Sure, that would be.
Yeah, intro to D&D.
Like, people come in, listen, and then they turn to D&D, yeah.
Yeah. So, once we started getting a more kind of cosmopolitan listener base, I tried to make an effort of, and also there's like Gen 1ers and stuff, and people who just like aren't familiar with the newer Pokemon, so I wanted to make sure to also give the name at some point too. But it's a delicate balance. I'm not a fan of just saying outright what it is, because I feel like that's just not very flavorful or fun.
I guess I would ask them like, "Hey, have you seen a Pichu named was it Pablo?
Pablo, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cindy would never forget that name again.
He's disgusted.
Because then we get discount.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
was, like,
the whole combo. Mm-hmm. With the jean shorts.
So he probably, like...
Schmidt.
Probably, like, doesn't really scoff,
what the
but, like,
fuck?
And then, oh, yeah, the guy at the booth was looking for a Pichu. I haven't seen anything. Come on, Quacko,
Schmidt,
let's go.
Schmidt did some growth, dude. What can you say?
What do you think of this coach?
Yeah, I'm gonna like ask the guy, like, is there anything I can help you with while
oh my god, the friend back. I'm gonna die.
It's not gonna be. Is there anything I can help you with?
No, it's sweet. It's good.
No, it's really funny though. Okay.
We don't have camera on, so we can't see you cringe, so it's fine.
Okay,
great. We can't see it, but we can feel it in our hearts.
Yeah, yeah, we can, yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Question for the DM.
Yeah.
Does Schmidt hear him cry?
Yeah.
Okay. Schmidt starts to feel a little bad.
This is an investigation, right?
It's perception because we're looking for clues, but we don't really know what yet.
I got a dirty 20.
Yeah, dirty 20. Great. Yeah. So you notice that there are, in fact, some strange footprints that actually don't belong to Schmidt and Quacko, who you haven't formally met yet. However, you also notice something a little more problematic. Your cherished favorite Whisk is no longer with you.
How obvious was it when I asked you all?
The OG
like,
Whisk taker?
The Whisk so that true. Definitely oh, came back later.
Yeah, the OG Whisk taker was... Okay, here's a fun question for you guys. Do you remember the villain from episode 1 who never showed up again? Who stole all your shit?
Oh, what was his name?
Do you remember his name and his Pokemon?
Yeah, it was like a secret base. It was a crab. I forget if it was...
He had a
bar. That makes sense.
No. Crawdon?
It was a Crawdon. Do you remember the guy's name?
The concerning footprints.
No. It wasn't Calvin, but it should have
no.
been.
It
was... I was going to say, I feel like it wasn't Calvin, but
it was just some other kid.
It was just a kid. He didn't get recycled. A number that you we could have count, he might have just been a just vandal, a troublemaker, but definitely from a Pokemon, he could, no you know, you could have canon, all sorts of stuff about him. Either him or the crab, I don't remember which,
follows the footprints.
Was named right. Drew yeah. as an homage to yeah, Boarding like Party's DM.
Great.
But
I
don't
that's really, cool.
Don't remember the rest.
Way. I'm going to go find my pickaxe. And maybe this Pichu too.
Schmidt, you're the last one. What do you think?
Yeah, did I see the footprint? Or am I still just like
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had no idea what to do.
Yeah.
And I was trying to be an asshole.
That's a tough combination, man. That's rough.
Yeah, being lost at an asshole. Like, yeah.
I don't know what I want, but I'm going to be a dick about
it. Big struggle. Yeah.
Big struggle.
Hey, okay, that's my fault. That's on me. And then so I take the kebabs awesome. Off him. Like one.
That's when you take the kebabs.
Go, like, see if you can get ahead of me. And then I run off towards there and I send Quacko ahead of me.
Yeah, that was one of the original things. It came back up later because Quacko was proficient in perception. Mm-hmm. And the idea was to have like Quacko like fly ahead and like check things out and make like perception checks from the sky or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think it happened twice the whole campaign.
You did it here and then you did it in Dewford, right?
Enters route 121, kind of scans around the area.
Hey, I mean, doing it twice is pretty good.
That are floating on the breeze. They're smiling and just kind of cheering to themselves. They're like, meh, just in the wind.
Okay, yeah, this, checking my notes, and we'll find out too because like, we're listening. But the fencing? I my notes say Klepto Kid is like Drew, and the Crawdont is named Alfie. I don't think that's a reference. I think that was just a name I decided for Crawdont.
It's a cute name. I like it.
Some sort, not as big as the one in Lily Cove, but it seems.
But
like
yeah,
there's a big
I messaged you guys before we started playing. I was like, tell me everything you have and pick one item that's important to you. So for Cindy, that was the berry pouch, which did come up in the future. That was something that came up quite often. Elodie was the whisk. For Schmidt, it was Quacko's leak, which, yeah, that's pretty important. And for Gimli, it was his pickaxe. And somehow a Crawdon managed to nab all those things. I guess the only unrealistic one is the pickaxe, but Crawdons are pretty strong.
Directly in your path on either side of a fence.
This should have been the first of our many failed perception checks.
Blue t-shirt.
We did get a comment on Spotify recently that was like, is it just me or does this party fail perception checks like weirdly often?
All the time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, just oblivious. It's crazy.
It's pretty weird. Yeah.
Literally don't know what's happening. They're like, it came to the point that we just expected it. We're like, oh, someone rolled perception check. Oh, you know what it happened, Gaglin. We're just moving on.
And what's crazy is that you guys missed like huge plot teasers from that, like really significant ones. So pretty fun. Pretty fun. With you, Mister. You locked eyes with me, so we have to battle. When we're listening
oh,
back,
there is.
Yeah, there's
it's Calvin.
Calvin.
I guess diplomacy. I try to reason with him. I'm like,
Calvin.
Diplomacy. We love
diplomacy.
Calvin.
Is definitely something I heard in a D&D podcast.
Okay,
I gotta chase down these people.
Like someone else do, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna do it.
Okay, 13.
13.
I give up on diplomacy very easily.
This is all he knows. If you lock eyes with someone, it's happening.
I wanted to scare you guys that this would be like the whole campaign, that trainers would be like, it's time, and you'd like have to battle them. That was the purpose of Calvin.
His netball, and there's just this little...
Did you guys fear that at the time, or were you not worried about it?
No, I think everybody was laughing at me because I couldn't push him.
Yeah.
And it just...
Yeah, there was no fear anymore.
And then also immediately we met somebody else that's like, oh yeah, no, that's just him. And we're like, oh, okay, cool.
That's just this fucking kid. Like, oh, okay, great.
All right. There's no
Calvin way. Is the first trainer you face besides your rival in the Gen 3 games, Youngster Calvin. He doesn't have a Venonat, but that is where I got the name. Was I just like, pick a Youngster.
As he sends out his beloved Tim, he eyes all of you and he's like, I think I can take on all of you. This is an invitation for all of you to roll initiative. Despite the fact that this is a 4v1, Tim and his trainer Calvin seem to not be intimidated by you at all.
Amazing.
He is not going first, but he is well and prepared, and Schmidt gets to go first because in fact he was the one that was originally challenged.
Schmidt has like he's like rubbing his head with like his head in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like not
his
wanting
kebab
to do this
hands.
At all.
His kebab hands.
Great comment. Yeah.
Okay, for sure.
But he's just like,
They wouldn't. He wouldn't have kebab Schmidt hands because
Schmidt doesn't battle much.
They're on sticks for on purpose, right? Or maybe they dripped like, a bit. Who knows?
Peck or whatever. I don't.
Well, I meant like his hands.
Oh, with the kebabs in them. Oh,
okay.
Yes.
That was directly a reference to a Eagle Raptor cartoon. All
right. Quacko swoops in, has had enough of
was it the one with Pikachu versus Venusaur?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This little purple
the trainer would be like, Venusaur, use your solar beam, whatever, man. I don't know. Venusaur's like, what? Yeah. Like, turns around and starts.
And it's now Cindy's turn.
Tim noises.
Use Ember.
If he possibly could, he buries his head further in his hands.
Yeah, shame is a free action.
Shame is a free action.
So true.
Classic.
Run that laugh track, baby.
An 8.
You guys are the laugh track.
I know. I was wheezing half the time, man.
Tim, dodge it! And then Tim's
oh
like,
my god, yeah.
And like jumps and just dodges the ember. And it's you're starting to worry, like, okay, this kid's like kind of full of it, but like maybe he's onto something. Like, this is a little scary. Elodie's turn.
Yeah, we're gonna use Draining Kiss.
Very cool. Let's see it.
Yeah, we got a 12.
Abjad's first Draining Kiss,
okay.
Real?
Yeah.
Is that natural, or was that what you added?
That's what I added.
Okay. Yeah, Cabbage the Milcery kind of floats in for a sinister smooch, and once again, Calvin is like, Tim, dodge
like that.
And then Tim goes, and just barely gets out of the way.
Did Calvin's, you say Tim dodge it?
Yeah, Tim's like, the name of the Venonat.
Yeah, Tim's the Venonat, yeah.
Okay, the subtitle said, damn, dodge
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Damn!
Who's Dan? Damn!
No, damn, like the curse.
Oh!
Yeah.
Cabbage.
Even better.
Yeah, even better.
I don't think it does.
Okay. So, Calvin makes this command for Tim, and...
So you
Tim
edited this one, battle. Right?
Yeah. You could say that.
Kind of notice, yeah, there's a lot more ums and ahs and
yeah.
Tim goes,
Kira's goated for sure.
Enjoy and fighting spirit.
Yeah.
I edited them until the volcano erupted. I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. We're going in with a tackle.
All right, Chevrolet.
Yeah,
which also coincidentally is when Spotify wanted to blow up because that's when we were able to pay Kira. So it's all of that was around the same time.
It's up to Gimli to decide.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, this tackle hits. So what's the damage?
Is a total of 2 damage.
Nice. Yeah. So
is that the first successful damage roll?
Was gonna harden right afterwards.
I think so.
Trevor's tackle for 2 damage.
The memories.
That's a bonus. Gimli hard carrying as usual.
Now you guys are throwing out triple damage digits sometimes. Pretty crazy. Seems,
you know,
only a couple times.
Only a couple times, but a lot of them are pretty close.
All the other Pokemon miss their attacks, and he thinks no more of this nonsense, and he catches Tim the Venonat in the middle of its victory dance from dodging all these attacks, and deals a nice little blow to it. We're going to cycle back around.
I mean, 2 HP when you have, like, 10 is pretty significant.
Tim and Calvin are, like, otherwise preoccupied with everyone else, right?
God, shut up.
No one's a bigger hater than Schmidt than Squints is.
God, what a terrible character that I'm playing.
We were all learning a lot. Another part of this combat that Grace managed to capture in her TikTok is that this has got to be like one of the funniest routes in Hoenn. It's one of those Pokemon routes that's like, there's one in Kanto too, that is just randomly full of fences. There's just fences all over the place.
Like, why are all these fences
here? Yeah. And I just love the idea of Calvin being here and challenging you guys like at this location. It's just funny. I feel like Pokemon doesn't do that as much anymore.
Oh God, Squids can't do math the first time.
Okay. That did not need to say in the episode. I could have edited that.
Oh,
my. For sure. All
right. Oh, is it me?
This is like his whole life. This is like his existence. Yeah. So Quacko can leave. He's not going to let you pass. You already tried to push him. You can send Quacko on like a mission and I guess escape initiative if you really want.
Yeah.
I really just did not want to be with the group.
That can be a little hard as a DM, but we made it work.
Did I like? Was I like this?
It's fine.
I think your idea early on as a player was like, if I'm an asshole, I'm a lone wolf in the party. I don't need anybody else. So that's like it started to evolve beyond that.
I wanted it to be like tries to fly away from Tim. I think in my head it was like I wanted this to be the comedic relief character and it'd be like karmic. You know, so he would be an asshole and then shit would happen to him.
We got an 18.
Yeah,
I think that's what happened. I mean, it was tough early on.
No, that's absolutely. But
the moment Schmidt gave up and lost to Watson was when it like all changed. I feel like, you know.
Yeah, just definitely that whole arc.
And I've said it so many times, but the symbolism in the Watson rematch is so good, dude. That's like my favorite part of the campaign, probably, is the Schmidt rematch.
That stretch of episodes. And I think in between the Watson matches,
yeah,
and a little bit after,
yeah, just huge growth for Schmidt, and like it's just yeah, it was so sick. big fan of that for sure. So while it's a little rough now, and clearly like more for the first like dozen or so episodes, I think the payoff is like pretty awesome. I think it's really
yeah. I remember I was in like a pretty dark place too.
Yeah, I'm sure that didn't help. I mean, yeah, post pandemic, other personal things potentially, shitty job market. Can be rough and it can bleed into your fantasy characters for sure.
But there's not much HP left.
So I got a 5.
Yeah, that is more than
I feel like despite Cindy being the only character that has a canonical birthday, she has not grown at all.
Yeah, she's like Ash Ketchum, you know? So they celebrate his birthday like 6 times.
Chaotic.
Yeah.
With both of her arms and just give a big ol' schmooch.
Actually, I feel like Cindy gets more chaotic.
Big ol' schmooch, like biggest schmooch you've ever seen.
Great.
What was I typing?
Awesome.
What's funny is that like I just don't type nearly as much as this anymore. Like not even close, dude. There's some campaigns where my notes, my prep notes, is 2 sentences, and I'll like make like don't forget blank, and that's like the entire session. And what the fuck was I typing? I just don't know.
Your mouth still tingles, Cabbage, but you aren't in pain anymore. If that makes sense.
Good.
Calvin says, oh, I can't believe you beat me. Tim, return. And then he faces you all and he says, that was really close. This isn't the last you'll see of me. And like runs away.
And it wasn't. Jesus.
That's crazy.
I'm so looking forward to seeing Tim again, is what Garby said. And you did a couple times.
I realize now that I was not actually looking forward to it.
The next time you met him, you saw him, was like pretty fucked up, actually. It was not good.
The Ninja Kids, right?
Ninja Kids.
The Ninja Kids, where he sludge bombed Schmidt directly, not the Pokemon.
Yeah, and Key Lime kind of committing a war crime by tracing Travage. Yeah.
Human.
like the north part of this horizontal.
It was cool.
We were trying to get back to their parents.
Yeah, no, it was. I liked it. It was a really cool moment.
The TikTok you made for that scene was so funny. It's like, are we free to go? Yeah, but we can't go. No, no, you can't. Are we being kidnapped?
It was So can we leave? No. Are we being kidnapped? No.
It was so good.
It was perfect. Yeah. Dwelling that's been carved into the stone. That's the beauty of TTRPGs. Is like, you know, everyone else is. You could have traced Wonderguard, but no, you took Arena Trap. And excellent. Some fun stuff happened.
I guess we'll all just head out.
Sure.
I guess we're a party now.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, I guess we're a party now.
You're gonna be telling yourself to shut up quite a bit, I'm afraid.
God. Well, guys, I guess we're some kind of team or something.
Elodie got the KO, so have Elodie make a perception check.
It's so anime protagonist. I love it.
Yeah, pretty funny.
First and foremost, you all notice something.
What anime was I watching during this time?
It sounds like it could be miles away, but you all.
I think I was rewatching. Very, very faint. Naruto.
Sound of like a spring, just repeatedly, just like boing. Boing, boing.
Ah, the spoink.
Oh my god, the spoink.
The spoink.
Don't I get like visions of the future from the spoink? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You also I thought the spoink was gonna like come back.
You failed
the
roll so bad.
So with an orange puppy dog. Yeah, so we're the only thing we haven't played is the finale. So I might have talked about it already, but I learned a valuable lesson regarding the spoink. Is that I thought that having a premonition would be a cool feature. But as so happens with TTRPGs, you guys managed to skip the major boss fight that this was alluding to, which was the camera up in the volcano, because Meryl Cheap got a crit, and I was like, there's no way I can justify that Meryl Cheap fails to get the plate. Like, I just couldn't do it, and I was like, well, that premonition's gone. And so I tried to kind of repair it, because you guys went to a fortune teller who had a grandpa. And it was like, oh, you avoided a terrible fate. But I didn't want to get too specific. But now that we're like done with the campaign, I will say, yes, the spoink was the camera up boss fight that didn't happen. That was the premonition.
That's crazy.
But that I also like the idea that like you can have a premonition and like you can
and
do something
it.
About.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks so, to where you just in case you guys were hoping for a payoff for that, it just didn't happen because Meryl Cheap's a goat. So
yeah, we're just too good.
Yeah.
And then they were never heard from again.
You lock eyes with him, you have to battle. Okay, yeah, that's not true at all. Don't
okay, yeah, there's the NPC. This is a real NPC on the route too, Gentleman Walter. He tells you that Calvin was full of shit.
He just looks at you and he looks at his sketchbook and he's like, oh, I really thought that was a good drawing. I thought that they would know. And he says,
are halfway down the road.
Okay. He's an old man, so he's like trying to make small talk. He's like, are you enjoying the festival?
Well, is he Yoda?
Yoda?
Oh, no. Enjoy festival, you are?
Yeah, something like that.
Yes!
Amogus joke, episode one.
Oh yeah, Among Us was like huge at that time.
Oh yeah, we were playing it every Friday.
He does not actually do that.
Okay. I remember that.
He's wearing a suit. He's like in really fancy clothes. It seems like he just wanted to get away from the hubbub for a bit. Seems like he was a little overwhelmed. He's just like an old guy with a cane. And he's accompanied by a little orange dog that's at his side, sitting happily. He's just kind of staring off into the horizon.
I think that's the trainer's. No, Growlithe isn't in Hoenn. So what brings you out here, I don't know. Gentlemen?
So, what was that?
Our stuff was stolen. They're getting away, and you're just going to strike up a conversation?
Yeah. Walter turns over to Schmidt and he says, it was just polite to introduce myself to strangers. We're all here having a great time
at
the festival.
Our stuff was stolen.
What an asshole.
Yeah. It's good.
Shakes his face in discontent and he's like, fine, be on with you. And he turns around and he kneels and he pets his dog and his dog kind of, yep. And he's just not even paying.
Richie, I'm sorry you had to deal with me.
Dog, it was fine. It turned out great. I didn't even consider it like kind of a dealing thing. This was my first time DMing, so I also was just kind of going with the flow.
It seems to be.
I think we both ended up improving a lot by the end of it. So I think it was worth it. Good learning experience
like
for both of us.
Base, perhaps into this wall, and there's no lighting, so you're just kind of just stumbling around in the dark.
Soli can see.
True.
30 feet in the dark.
Okay.
Which, if it's a hideout, that might be the whole hideout.
So Soli doesn't mind at all. Soli notices something and maybe lets out like a little yip.
But
the subtitles cannot get solely right for the life of it.
Yeah, it's fine. They never will get stuff like that right, but it's fine.
Okay. It's also short for Soul Eater, and that's like a whole separate. It's for
people. As the Spotify comments know, we see so many spellings of Soli. Some of them are like S O L E I, which I actually think is kind of cool because that's like solar vibes. But
yeah,
but that's not the intention. It is in fact Soul Eater.
And he flings towards the ceiling, and then the lights flash on, and you hear like a voice that sounds like it's gone through some sort of effect or like a megaphone or like a DJ booth or something. And
yeah, why did he have a voice changer? Who's there?
He stole it, probably.
Like, how are you gonna fall for a trap in a cave? You're homeless. You should know caves like the back of your
head. Oh yeah, Gimli is homeless.
This is
the fourth time I brought it up this campaign. We've just been talking over it.
That's crazy.
Yes, homeless man.
God. Yeah, I think you're supposed to hate Schmidt at the beginning. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's in the past.
I should be asking somebody on the Reddit was like, does Schmidt get better? And I was like, yes.
Although that one ProZD video where he's like, no, you have to watch this. This character gets so much better.
Yeah. You feel like that's Schmidt?
That's literally Schmidt, yeah.
That's funny.
There's a big old crab, and there's a figure, a pretty small one, a little bit bigger than Calvin, who seems to be dressed in very dark clothing and hiding his face, and he has some sort of like device attached to his face that makes his voice a lot more.
Yeah, this is a loose end I never tied up. It's like, what the fuck is this kid doing? They just, I don't know. We can just say he's his own kind of villain, I guess. Not organized at all. Just...
Oh, is this the first time we do friendly fire?
Maybe.
Time for fire.
Okay, we got a two.
A two.
To hit the net.
Okay, you don't hit the net, but you do singe Gimli. Gimli, roll a d4.
Oh, no.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Like immediately friendly maneuver. Fire.
It's...
I want to burn the net so he can escape.
Two damage.
Yeah, you're gonna take two.
Gimli got caught. No, he was the only one who didn't get caught in a net in Granite Cave, right?
Corner, there's just mounds and mounds.
Or was it Schmidt?
No, I think only Schmidt. I think only Schmidt got caught.
It was a deck save, so that makes sense. Okay.
At the top of one of the mounds.
Yeah, you guys haven't fallen into net traps very often. I think there was just two times.
This boy and this large crab say, "Who dares enter Alfie's base without permission?"
Are you old enough to have a secret base? And be kidnapping Pokemon?
The accent's already gone, by the way.
Yeah, it's already enough. Already.
I love how there's an age limit to be kidnapping Pokemon. Yeah. Potentially be kidnapping Pokemon.
This was the start of Ellie versus children.
Yeah.
The Ellie versus children.
Get out of here.
Are you old enough, kid?
Before they all knew, Cindy was a child.
Sure. I'll make a perception check.
Yeah. Well, I mean, her lie was worth 2 years, right? Not a whole lot. Still a child, regardless.
You don't have your pick.
I swear I'm 18.
Well, that's my funniest thing. We never didn't assume you weren't a child. You had this built in your head, like, they think I'm some kind of grown up and kept playing it out as such. I don't think anyone was convinced you were some kind of...
But you were all shocked that she was 14 and not, like, I think 16 was, like, the guess. It's like, yeah, you're obviously younger than you're saying.
Whoa. I think it was cute and good. And I think...
There's a big difference between 14 and 16 when you're...
That's true. When you're that age.
Like, I don't know. I teach both age groups and they're not that far apart.
What is it for
stuff? It's very on brand for Cindy to be, like... It's very on brand for Cindy to be like, they don't know my secret, and then they like know her secret. You know,
everyone knew her secret.
Yeah. So, that's just good, like setting up the character. I think
this might be kind of noisy.
Another dex, okay, plus two.
But I did give you deception expertise because of that, right? I think
deception proficiency. I think I still only have proficiency.
Got it.
I have expertise in survival,
which is so funny.
Just, you know, dominant around the world.
And yeah,
that was really funny, actually.
I like to think of Cindy's survival stat more as like dumb luck, I think.
Yeah. It feels like that, yeah. Especially in post.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Stuff works out, you know?
Stuff worked out. Quacko
takes you just wake up at the Pokemon Center and everything's fine.
With bubbles, and he says, if you're going to try and take my stuff, you're going to have to fight me first. Doesn't seem like this guy's going to let you go without a fight.
You're welcome to roll initiative, or if you want to try and skill your way out of it, you're also welcome to, but you're going to have to come up with some checks for me. Gimli is still suspended on the ceiling.
Can I sleight of hand to see if I can grab my berry pouch and maybe the Pichu?
You'll have to stealth first to get over there, and now he's very intent, so it might be, it's a high check, but
okay.
You're welcome to, but yeah, I mean, there's also already some action over there because he just attacks mm-hmm. Quacko, so it's pretty much impossible, but you can try.
Yeah, no, I got a 5. Four, okay. Four, got a 4.
Yeah, you try to go over there, and then this crab snaps a giant pincer in your face, doesn't attack you, but it's kind of just like, don't even think about it kind of thing.
Well, I'm not very effective.
That's kind of a lot of content so this episode.
But
okay.
Hmm. Thinking yeah, about it, I mean, you do this whole mission and then return, right?
And then the terrorist attack on Lily.
Yeah, the terrorist attack.
Well, no, I think it ends after that, even, right? Because you catch Cookie, don't you? Or is that episode 2?
You want Trevor to do, but it might not happen.
That's episode 2, I think.
Maybe episode 2.
I guess we'll find out. Yeah,
it was definitely after.
Got it.
We're bad.
We're unexperienced adventurers. We're not even adventurers.
We're like also basically children.
Yeah. Well,
I've never battled, so.
I mean, also never battled.
All right.
Good insight there, buddy.
His voice changer says, Drew, go for a bubble. And he goes for a bubble.
It's like Alfie's the kid and Drew's the.
Oh,
yeah, my notes say otherwise, but I might have switched them up and just went for it.
No.
I might have accidentally just botched it and then continued.
Like they pop, they might sting.
Because he also said, like, who dares enter Alfie's hideout? Yeah, I was like, yeah. Alfie, why would the crab have a whole hideout?
Yeah, I think I botched it and switched it. That's what happened.
That's fine.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm just gonna be like, kid, like, where are your parents? Are
Ellie versus like children? Get the tallies out, dude.
Letting this go. It's like, kids should not be doing this stuff. Yeah.
Kids should not be on the road. Where's your parents?
Like very threateningly.
Richie, I like how you've said crab this episode.
Crab with a dragon kiss.
How much I've said crab?
Just you've always said crab every time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also paying homage to Boarding Party again with that, which I do in the first 20 episodes in the outro as well. I shout them out just because it was what made me want to do this. So they have a Paris in their campaign, and they are often talking about how it's a crab. So
we're not going anywhere, pal.
I ended up adopting that as a little tribute.
But you're also welcome to free yourself. Or you can try to do both, but one of them is probably going to suck. Maybe not, though.
Right. Well, I was wondering if I try to, like, find a weakness in the net using, like, survival, would that be a possible thing I could do?
Yes. Yes, and you could do that, and then it would, depending on what you find, you might get a bonus to your roll, but that will consume your concentration, and Trevor won't be able to act.
Okay. Even no bonus actions or anything? Just full concentration?
We could... As a favor, I could let him try and improvise an attack if that is your course of action, but it probably won't work.
Yeah, I'm gonna actually just try to find a weakness in this net.
Okay, so. Yeah, do survival, see what happens.
17.
Okay. There definitely was some growing pains with the combat too, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think
I feel like.
Oh, I hit that 20.
Go on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was. It's just we really were going into this without like a solid plan. Like, yeah, we're using 5e and like parts of Pokemon 5e, but like we were just going for it. And I like after 4 years, I think it's in a pretty good spot. But we're still updating it. Chances are we're gonna record the finale and change a rule. You know, like. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in the beginning here, it's a little rough, but I think that's also fine because it's all level 1 and we're figuring it all out. So
yeah, I feel like combat now, like it goes so much more fluidly.
Yeah,
and that's also like we all kind of like fall into roles later.
Mm-hmm.
We have Schmidt. Schmidt and Quacko are currently behind.
I also feel like it makes sense early on to like not be able to do like an action and do a Pokemon thing, and then like as the we get better as trainers, we're able to do more.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like because we've kind of it's like oh it makes sense to be able to do like two things.
Yeah,
but that's also like oh we've also gotten better as in game as trainers.
Yeah, I think at the point where we solidified that you can do two actions per turn was like. Around the time in a regular campaign where you'd get extra attack on your character. So I think it worked out. I think, you know, level 5-ish characters in D&D 5e will have multiple things to do on their turn, and level 1s just do one thing. So I think it checks out.
Alfie says
it wasn't intentional to do it that way, but that's just how it turned out.
It seems like his face has slipped on his voice changer a little bit, and Drew takes a peck to the face. This big old crab seems to recoil a little bit. Took a little bit of damage there. Very nicely done.
Crab.
Well, my only move is crab.
Your only move?
Well, my only move that does damage.
Classic Cindy mentality.
Yes. Oh, it's the only move that matters, so.
That never changed. That's so good.
Like I said, Cindy has not changed at all.
My only move is Ember. It's the only thing I can do.
Your only move? Well, I mean.
It's the only move that does damage.
That's awesome. It's the only move that actually matters, dude.
You did fall in love with one status move, so I think that was a success.
Baby doll eyes.
Baby doll eyes.
Yeah.
And I only keep that because I have five moves on Soli.
Yeah. Pretty funny.
It's like a free.
I guess we'll tail whip.
All right, I have to make.
I guess we'll tail whip with sadness.
The pain. Yeah, the pain of using a status move is cringy.
That's awesome.
One attack on foe for the duration of the, I guess, encounter.
And I believe that applies to everyone.
Yeah.
So that's pretty neat.
You me trying to convince you that it's a good effect.
No, status moves are fine, honey. It's fine.
That's awesome.
And then gets kind of confused and flustered. And takes a step.
Like, isn't that cool? You did that for everyone.
Yeah, that's Elodie's job to help everyone. That's not my job.
Kind of like, as part of my turn, like get out of the way of a possible future hit.
You can move. You could move to back up. You are currently
just
like...
back up a little bit, like not so far away that I can't do anything, but like farther away to like not be the center of attention.
Sure. Yeah, you were at 10 feet. You can move up to 30 feet away if you'd like. 30 feet's gonna put you outside of the cave. 20 feet would like put you at the door. Drew, this crab of unidentified species, is going to attempt to go for a vice grip into Quacko, changing the direction that it is facing. 9 hit Quacko.
Nope.
All right. Drew the crab.
Sunk into this.
Smacks its
crab
in the direction of Quacko.
I definitely melted, huh? Just a little bit too much.
Crab.
Alfie and Drew are both looking quite frustrated at this moment. Alfie said,
Alfie and Drew.
Crab sounds.
I think we're going to go for another draining kiss.
All right. Everyone who is not Quacko has advantage because you are now flanking.
Nice.
12.
Advantage and plus 1.
And 11. Nice. Mm-hmm. We'll go with the 12.
Yeah, you hit. Roll your damage, and it's super effective.
Is it super effective?
It is.
Nice.
This is a dark type crab.
13?
That's a big hit. Cabbage the Milcery floats over to the crab.
Did we? Did I edit out?
Because it doesn't see it.
I must have edited out our damage rolls.
It seems to drain some life force, a significant
amount. I was curious how if we treated super effectives the same. See, so I keep all the stutters and shit, but I edited out the math. That's crazy.
Nobody wants to listen to
these. These are very interesting editing choices.
Yeah.
No, that's too much math. No one wants to listen to that.
I think that was my logic. I was like, no one wants to hear numbers in a TTRPG.
They so do. Yeah.
Seems to glance off.
Yeah.
Because we just like big number to go up, dude.
That's so funny.
You know,
people probably want to know what super effective means because I'm like, oh, that's super effective. It does 13 damage, and we don't know like why. That's so funny.
You're like, oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, learning for everyone.
I do think I want to do like some kind of perception of my surroundings to see if there's some creative way I can use.
Oh, here we go.
Trevor for something, but I just want to like get a better observation of my surroundings.
Sure, absolutely, go for it.
The 21.
You look at the inside of this cave, and or
no dice sounds yet.
It's kind of
fun little punctuation for the recording, IMO. I think it helps listening for your brain to just be like, oh, a number.
If it was legitimately oh, there's something happening. Like it's also the clickety clack. It just tickles the dopamine parts of the brain.
Totally, I totally agree.
Stuff in it, like it seems like a breaker box or something. And there are two lights overhead on the ceiling. There's one directly above you, and then there's one further down into the room where all the items are being.
There might have been a time I was doing it for damage rolls as well, which is a little overkill, but I like it for like rolls to hit, saves, big checks, etc. I think it's a good tool. Explaining it to Kira when she first started was she had a hard time, which is fair because she didn't have any experience with TTRPG. She's like, where do I do the dice sounds? And I was like, on attack rolls and checks, and she just it was hard, you know.
Yeah,
pads on the ground that make you spin in circles.
But now she's a pro.
No, but there are pads on the ground.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You aren't sure what they do.
Oh
but,
nice.
We stand Kira.
I like to play the first 5 notes of Megalovania.
Megalovania.
You have to walk on them first, but.
Oh right, it's a secret base, so it has like the music notes. Did you guys ever want to do a secret base? Because I never offered that to you.
Sure, are you yelling?
I think we had like our base with the berry farm.
Yeah, but it wasn't secret. It was a public base.
Okay, yeah, you can give me two intimidation checks.
I guess.
It's just an iconic feature of Hoenn, and I want I just want to know if I deprived you guys of that or not.
No.
So, I never even did it when I played Emerald, like making a secret base.
Yeah. What do you say? It can't be too good because you rolled 11, but
yeah.
I did enjoy the plushies like though that you could get to put in the base. I just liked having the plushies.
Okay. Yeah.
He doesn't now
I collect them in real life.
At all.
Yeah. True. But
Quacko just quacks like a vicious, terrible, ominous quack. It's like so demoralizing. It's the worst. And
Quacko was proficient in intimidation.
Yeah.
That such a small little duck could
did we start with that or did we add that?
I think we started with that.
Turn. So that's ooh. That's a pretty dramatic, but yeah, it is in
very
fact
spicy.
In fact a crit. So
let's go for another tail whip from the back of the room.
Sure. Drew the Crawdon got 12, but Ty's favored the attacker. So you get another bonus.
That is not how that works. So that is
And you're still flanking, so that's advantage.
Well,
wild.
Woo.
Okay.
No, it would be meets it beats it. Okay, so that is how that works. I just used the wrong terminology there. Because it was a save, it wasn't a.
My berry pouch
wasn't a roll to hit.
Dirty 20.
Let's go. Yeah, you you see your stuff for sure. It's in a pretty similar spot to where Quacko found the leak. And you also
ooh, I like that spelling of Quacko. Quacho.
Kind of the
double C.
Quacho.
Quacho.
Stay in the back, but now that I've located it, I'm like, okay, cool.
Sure,
know
yeah.
Where it, is.
It would be dangerous to cross this crap. Alfie was very intimidated by a duck. Or not Alfie, but Drew. So Alfie's trying to give commands to Drew the Crawdon. And Drew's
I definitely switched it up.
Shaking his
that's
head
funny.
Up, shaking it the best way that the crab can. And is kind of paralyzed in fear, thankfully, to Quacko. So back to Elodie.
I think I'm going to go ahead and do a good old training kiss.
Great.
Like, oh.
Cabbage didn't have a whole lot of options at this level,
oh,
huh?
20.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quick training kiss, let's go.
Yeah.
Is this so the first time she smooched something to death?
Yeah.
It probably is.
I think so, yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Super effective and a crit. So you're going to add whatever your maximum roll is. So you're going to add 8 plus 2d8 plus whatever your bonus is.
That's confusing.
How you kiss this crab to death?
Yeah, once again, totally just gonna grab that little crab, give it a big schmooch. Yeah, I don't know how else.
I was like, this isn't canon, but schmooch. How I imagine it is like DBZ style teleporting around the crab, rapid fire kisses.
Wait, yeah. Yes, that's perfect. 100%, yes.
Okay, I
rapid fire kisses.
Perfect. You see 100%. Exactly that. There seems to be like an aura that's glowing around Cabbage, like, and you could swear that you hear in the distance someone going, like charging up.
That's me. I'm doing that.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, everybody is just
that's
shouting,
sick.
And
like little cracks of lightning coming off.
Yes, absolutely. And this crab faints. Its eyes turn into X's, and it sinks into the ground. And Alfie is thoroughly upset. He rips off his mask, and you see a kid, probably no longer younger than Calvin, probably about the same age, maybe a little bit older. And he says, "I can't believe you came here and ran into my secret base and beat up Drew. And I'm so upset. I'm just gonna leave." And he just runs out the base, and he recalls Crawdon into the Pokeball.
Quite an elegant resolution to that.
I'm gonna go.
I don't. I guess
didn't
I
didn't he like jump into the water?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I feel like we should be responsible for this child.
I hope he drowns.
Last Luke.
No.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so probably okay.
I
so
hope he drowns.
That's crazy.
Once small child that was roaming the lands.
So you all are in this cave. There's all this items that don't belong to you, and there is a crying Pichu that seems to have hope in its eyes.
I'm gonna
what a description.
Pichu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try and disentangle it.
You pick up a Pichu. Not sure whether or not this is in fact Pablo, but it is a Pichu. It is all bound in ropes.
Can I try and unbind it?
You can.
First, can I say Pablo? And like see if I get a response.
As you say Pablo, its ears perk up, then its cheeks little spark a little bit. It goes, but its mouth is covered up with rope and you can't really.
Oh no!
What was I typing, dude?
Yeah, you're going at that keyboard.
What the hell?
Holy!
The ropes come off. You can tell that's
crazy.
They were too tight.
They weren't very cozy. Pablo is so happy to be freed, and he jumps into your arms, and he's now crying tears of joy.
Oh, I'm gonna tuck him into my little apron.
All of you locate your items. You found the whisk, you found the pickaxe, you found the berry pouch, and you found the leak, and now you got Pablo in an apron. What's your game plan?
Does anything else look like freshly stolen, like from other people that might be at the festival that we could like bring back and give to the hotel lost and found or something?
You can give a freshly stolen look-see.
Okay, what check is that?
Perception.
Oh, dirty 20.
Dirty 20. Yeah.
The 19 is plus one. So.
You find a blue Pokeball that has a sigil on it. That who found this? Cindy?
Yeah. Cindy.
Yeah, Cindy immediately recognizes this as a police Pokemon.
Oh, I don't remember this.
Okay.
Well,
just stealing Pokemon.
I think we returned it immediately.
Did you? Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I grabbed that.
It's like an actual D-gen. What the heck?
Just to bring back, to bring it to like the hotel lost and found or try and find the owner.
Sure, of course.
I would also like to go to the police to report everything that has happened.
Sure.
Yeah, so we'll bring the Pokemon back to the police.
We all leaving the base?
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. Sounds good.
Yeah, you head back down the path of Route 121. Calvin's nowhere to be seen. It seems like Walter, the gentleman, took off. But you do hear a much, much louder boing, boing.
Ah, yes.
In the grass.
Premonition time.
No, I'm not too interested. I got that thing I'm looking for as well.
Okay. We got stuff to do, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're kind of out of here.
I'm a little tipsy and tired. I don't know if you heard.
I just got stuff stolen. There's been this homeless guy following me.
You were all walking back into Lily Cove. You're carrying all of these
not
things.
Not the homeless man.
And you walk up to...
Schmidt isn't concerned with Elodie or Cindy, but the homeless man?
It has some text on the sign of the booth, and it says K-A-Y hyphen Mart. And it seems like the guy who's running the Mart...
Classic Kmart.
Classic Kmart.
And
that's also stolen from Boarding Party.
My boy!
And but Pablo all of their shopkeeps were K, rather than the rimming scheme.
And, Pablo shed some more tears of joy. He's like,
I think, if I'm remembering correctly.
Please let me reward you all. So please add to your inventory 5 premier balls. He's decided to reward you with some of the most premier of Pokeballs. And he asks all of you, thank you so much. What are your names? Is there anything else I can get for you?
Well, I'm Gimli.
Hello. Yes, my name is Schmidt. I would like the reward.
Okay. Yeah. Roll me a persuasion.
Let's fucking go, Schmidt.
Oh, I'm proficient in it.
He gets better, I swear. So
it's true. Six. He does.
Big number.
Okay, yeah. K of the Kmart looks at you and he's like, I gave you those premier balls, but I mean, I'd be, if you would like something in particular, please speak up. But I have to still run a business. So I'm not just.
This was an actual confusion on my part.
I had a brain fart on not putting two and two together that the
no I said it
the reward
okay got it.
It seems in character, so that's fine.
Yeah, it's
Cindy introduces herself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Cindy.
Great to meet you, Cindy. And who is this one who had Pablo in the apron?
That was great development. Cindy, introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Cindy. Yes, of course.
Cindy was introduced.
Pause.
This is awesome.
To myself and my cousins, all serving you. The department store is closed, but
oh, confirmed cousins. Confirmed relationship in episode 1. They are all cousins.
Please hope you come by. I will tell my family of your heroism and be sure that they treat you nicely wherever they may see you. Thank you. Thank you so much. It seems like the festival has gotten a lot more crowded. The pervasive boining from Route 121 seems to have snuck up behind you. You all turn around, and you see a Pokemon. And I need you all to make an intelligence check. Just a raw intelligence roll. Just the humans.
Perfect.
The
I am dumb as bricks. Let's go. I don't know anything about nothing.
Still am.
I got a dirty 20.
Okay.
I say that. I got an 18.
Yeah, 12.
Okay.
Plus, so I got a 14.
14. All right. Everyone who isn't Cindy, this is like the cutest thing you've ever seen. This is like it's a pig on a spring and it's holding a ball on its head. It is so cute. Like,
I like Spoink.
Schmidt,
it's
your
cute.
Boundaries are a little broken right now. You're like, what is this?
I agree.
Pig? I can't believe it. Cindy, you
did I put music
incredibly
here?
Hot. Like, as if, like, you were in a furnace. Like, incredibly uncomfortably hot.
It's not well balanced.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
The surroundings of the festival dip away, cut to blackness, and you find yourself in a large room without lighting. And there's this massive array of glass tubing lining the walls and the ceiling. There's a strange four-legged figure against the far wall of the room, and it's just collapsed in exhaustion, maybe close to death.
What's the four-legged figure?
Glowing flame.
Oh,
is it the camera up?
That's a...
Yeah, the flame turns its form to...
Wow, I'm sorry, that sounds like a camera up that we encounter later.
Yeah.
You hear a familiar voice say...
Four-legged figures.
As they tug your sorry? Arm and...
That was the intro track, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You try to run, but you just can't move. You're completely paralyzed in fear. Roll a d6.
Did you have that commissioned, or did you steal that from somewhere? Or?
No, I had it commissioned. As I have a friend back from California who does their breakthrough was doing soundtrack like dubstep for European parkour videos. They like got commissions for that. It was really cool. Yeah,
so sick.
Yeah, yeah. So it was like custom made so that it would like swell with the video of people doing parkour. She ended up being open for commissions. And I said, hey, could you do something for the podcast?
At some point. But all of a sudden,
she started with trap music. So there's a bit of a trap vibe to it, but I don't mind that. I think it's fun.
Based on this terrible emotional experience she just had that this boink has triggered in her mind. The Pokemon band has stopped playing, and the sounds of people in Pokemon tilling about have just completely stopped, and this is not a vision. Everyone directs their gaze upwards to where the sun used to be, and there is a large aircraft. That
so much drama right at the beginning.
Yeah. Wow, jeez. This blimp-looking vehicle open, and smoke comes billowing out of chambers on the sides, and hordes of bats come flying out in a frenzy. People in dark clothing wearing unusual machinery over their eyes rappel down on long ropes, and they have Pokeballs at their belts.
So, fun fact.
There's a voice that booms.
What I meant by visor originally was like Geordi LaForge from Star Trek.
The professional
like a thing, an ocular device. But Grace made fan art and gave them visors like the caps. And I was like, you know what? That's better. So that is what became canon.
You know,
but you can tell in the description that I meant it to be like an ocular thing.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's too late now.
In retrospect,
probably try and hide.
I think it's awesome. I think it's great.
Yeah,
I feel like visor fits like the Pokemon evil team.
It does the goofy
vibe.
Look. Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. I was taking it too serious.
You're,
I think.
You're looking fervently for
they're
your
bad. The people who visor goggles.
Yeah. Yeah, I should describe
that
them
is,
more like.
It's funny to like. Yeah, they're wearing like golf things. Golf visors.
It fits the goofiness that's in the Pokemon world.
It's very goofy. Yeah.
What's everyone else doing?
Shutting down and crying. What? Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Freaking out.
Definitely scooping up Trevor in my hand. Like I know
I can. Yeah, like Schmitz and like
Schmitz with a Z. Hell yeah.
Who has
like make sure everyone
hands?
Who has the police?
I think
he
probably make sure because he knows Quacko's hurt, so he probably make sure Quacko's okay first.
Cindy has the police Pokeball.
Okay. The police Pokeball starts to like make a siren out of it, and it opens itself, and standing in front of you is a big orange dog, much like the one that Walter had, but
bigger?
Not belonging to Walter. It's bigger, and it looks back and like doesn't recognize you, but it kind of gives you a glare like, all right, I gotta do something here. And it just stands in front of you and lets out a howl, and you notice all around you there's all these people who seem like police of some sort, and they're running around with their various Pokemon. The two professional battlers on the stage have turned their battling not from show and now to protecting people. I would like Schmidt to make a history check.
Why would Schmidt make this check?
Does 23 get you what you need?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
I guess I reveal.
One of these battlers that was putting on a show
plus 5 to that roll. That's
is
crazy.
Is Morty from the Ecruteak Gym. And he was battling
Lore.
He's a little bit older from his years of prime. He's probably in his late 40s, but he's still a healthy looking man. He's adorned with these jewelry or like emblems that seem to they're familiar to you.
So at this point,
mm-hmm.
the Johto had you already
has his Gengar throwing blobs of
had the spooky Schmidt is the lore keeper thing planned?
No, definitely not.
You notice
okay. when did that come up? I think that came up when I was like trying to add more flavor to why Sam wanted to go to Meteor Falls. I was like, there has to be something else that goes on there. And I think that's where that came up. So it didn't happen for quite a while.
Interesting. I remember at the very beginning of the campaign, you were like, also you're proficient in history. No reason, just add a history proficient.
I was copying Pokemon 5e, and that's a bonus that they gave to Johtoans.
Okay.
Let me... Gengar being captured? Artemis Protocol, anyone?
Right, I can do that.
That was planned from the beginning, for sure.
I got a six.
A six? Okay.
Yeah.
You don't notice much, but there, you know, you're still in front of Kay's booth, and Kay is cowering Pablo. He's like, no, not again, not again. Team Magma and Team Aqua, they disappeared decades ago. Who is this? Who would do this to our festival? You all notice, as the police are reuniting with their Arcanines, one of them runs up to Cindy and says, oh, wow, thanks for finding my partner. And just takes the ball from your hands. And she seems very...
As she's having, like, an emotional breakdown, it's fine.
Cindy's just, like, sobbing, but this officer seems very calm and, you know, takes the Pokeball and says, thank you very much.
I give it to her.
Is this Elodie's first... Is this the formative moment that all cops are boyfriends?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like this moment of, wow, they're saving the day.
Yeah.
She says, everything's gonna
God,
be okay.
Cops
Except
are
they
just kind of hot. Hello.
You notice That's these weird. Black beams, these black deanimizing lasers picking up other Pokemon from the crowd. Let me get a check from Gimli, just a perception check.
Nat 20.
Great.
Ooh.
As a Sinnoan, you...
I haven't been paying attention to rolls. Was that the first Nat 20?
No, because, well, Draining Kiss crit to get the KO on...
Oh, right.
The Drifloon gets sucked away. And you notice a trainer who is trying to fight off along Morty's side, who has a Miss Magus, and the Miss Magus also...
This was supposed to be a big hint that the only Pokemon being stolen were ghost types.
They're sucking up our ghosts.
And then we just didn't pay attention to that at all.
No, it was supposed to be vague and hard to notice, I think.
It's just one of those things that you
shock. This is the first episode.
Yeah, that's true.
No, that's ironically, that's something that's better for listeners than actual, like...
Totally.
Gamers, because if you're in the moment, you're not going to notice that. Hey, it's only ghosts that they're ticking up. It's like, I don't know what the fuck they're doing. There's a blimp in the sky. They're vacuuming up Pokemon. Yeah. Like, you're not thinking about too much.
Yeah.
And
I don't think that ever got confirmed for the Paco until they were in Regirock's chamber, right?
Okay, we are still
that they're taking ghosts. So that took like 3 years to resolve.
All ocean and air travel by harbor or Pokemon in the Hoenn.
And this was my solution to keeping you guys in Hoenn. Because I was like, if they're just here for vacation, they're going to want to go home. What if there's a travel embargo?
Got him. Wow. How can you leave with the travel embargo?
And I didn't say an outro, I just played the music. What did you guys think? What's your reaction?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there is a blooper. Just kidding. Is there? No, isn't.
That's just over.
We're not going to do Fast Friends yet.
We're not there yet.
Yeah, what are your thoughts?
It felt like new player experiences. Some of us over-explained our characters to, like, depth without, like, letting the storytelling be natural. We definitely felt like we were tripping over ourselves sometimes, but you could feel, like, the new party, new player energy. Before we got really comfortable. It's cool to see, honestly. That's like, that was so many years ago.
Yeah, the newbie energy is very visceral for all of us. Yeah. We're all like, ooh, on like everything. And that's cute. It's good. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have any comments or anything? No? Okay.
I don't really listen to like the episodes because I don't like hearing my own voice.
That's very common, yes. It wasn't until like I was editing my Twitch VODs that I got used to my own voice, so I totally get that.
It's fair.
Similar.
Yeah, similar vibe.
Yeah, this got me used to it.
Yeah, it's hard to get used to. Cool. So we'll do this as frequently as we're able. And if we don't always have all of us, then that's fine. It will always at least be me. Unless you guys want to like solo your own gym challenges, that'd be funny, but still we'll TBD on those gym challenges. So we'll do episode 2 next. So I will say, whoever's listening, thank you for listening. Does anyone have any final messages for the listeners?
Stay beautiful.
Perfect.
Yeah, stay classy,
friends. True. Stay beautiful.
Cool. We will see you on the next one. Goodbye.